Ben, on va passer au tchèque, ouais. Troisième étape.
Voilà.
Est-ce que tu peux présenter en quelques mots déjà qu'est-ce que ça veut dire dans ton organisation? C'est le côté, pour moi, c'est l'œil humain.
English is also.
Yes.
In a way, it's the human verification. So when you look at penetration testing and vulnerability scanning, there's always the automated part, the really technical part. Where we try to make a difference is that we look at how faults work together to form a business risk. So we try to link it back to the business risk that hopefully Maximini's exercise has brought up. So for us, we try to stay away from the pure vulnerability assessments. We always try to tie it back to how could it hurt your organization. So as a background, our team, I myself have a background in incident response and forensics. My team also does, but we focus now more on offensive security, ethical hacking, penetration testing. Red teaming is a very worthwhile technique. And we work together with CSM and Advance to indeed do the check part. So Maxime comes in with the planning. What are our business risks? How do we address them? Together with the organization, Arnaud forms a way to monitor, detect, prevent. And then we come in at the end of the cycle and see if what was designed up front, what are we doing to match our business risks? Is that what is really happening in the organization? Because very often we see that in an implementation project, certain shortcuts need to be made for budgetary reasons, for organizational reasons. We don't have the manpower. And what you end up with is always slightly different than what you designed. And so we come in and we check if that departure from the design, let's say.
Comment ça se passe pratiquement
still,
quand tu arrives chez un client?
Practical outcome, So we start, typically, we love to start from a business risk. And then we go and look at how a business risk could materialize in a specific environment. And we have, like Arnaud does, we have access to what we call threat intelligence, where we can look at specific threat actors, look at how they operate and can make certain business risks happen. And we replay, we mimic those same activities. And then we have a couple of different techniques that we use to do that. But that's our core activity, let's say.
Yep. Donc, pentest, red team, comment fait la différence?
Yeah.
Est-ce que le client se rend compte qu'il y a une différence d'abord?
Yeah.
Et toi, comment agis-tu
yeah.
vis-à-vis du client?
Tu
le préviens?
It's a very good question. So penetration testing, we see it more as the security of a very specific platform or an application. So people design applications, they put them online, and there is a specific high risk linked to the operational part of that application or platform. We go in and we check, does that platform have proper security in place? We try to find all of the security flaws. Where we make a difference towards an automated scan is that we do that in a business context. We try to understand the flows that happen on this application. What processes run on this application? Because this is very important. If you're talking about a brokerage application in insurance, or you're talking about a web app, a simple web application, that's a very different... Let me skip a couple of slides ahead. That's a very different question. And so we try to place that in a business context. And rather than just look at all of the technical risks, and there may be a lot of them, we try to bring them together and bring them to life in a business context that you can also use to convince, for example, your management that something needs to happen with the flaws in that application.
Okay.
When it comes to red teaming,
yes,
we start the other way around. So red teaming, we start from the business risks. We look at what's important for you. We look at what your threat profile is as an organization, both on a regional level as well as on a business level. What are the real risks for you? And then we try and we define parameters which for you would indicate, okay, this is something very bad that would happen. So we play a game, so to speak, a capture the flag exercise where we define if something like this happens, we are in trouble. Mm-hmm. And then we look at all of the ways that you could get there. And these exercises are very interesting because it goes beyond what I do in my little niche or what I do in my application or my silo in the organization. we look at, I don't care if it's a process that I'm abusing or if I have to do social engineering, I have to make a phone call, I have to convince somebody, lie to the guard at the entry. I don't care. I need to get to a certain endpoint. And so this is how real attackers operate. They don't care if you've got a specific application there and it's segmented or not, or they look at what do I get out of there. And we, so we operate in that same fashion.
Okay, une dernière question, c'est le bug bounty. On en parle beaucoup. C'est les chasseurs de primes.
Yeah.
C'est un peu lié à ton métier ou qu'est-ce que
Absolutely.
Tu en penses?
Absolutely. So bug bounty is a very valid model in certain use cases. So it's become very popular and it's starting to get very big. There's a couple of reasons why you should or should not do it. Obviously, bug bounty gives you access to a very large pool of qualified resources. That's fine. Limitations with bug bounty are that you have much less control of what happens in your testing. To give you an example, the screening procedures, for example, are not always on par with what you would expect in internal personnel. There may be issues also with the distributed sourcing of testers, of controlling a test once it goes wrong or once something that doesn't necessarily is tied to the test goes wrong. Mm. So imagine you have an incident and then you have a distributed network of testers. How can you make sure that all of them stop at the same time? There's a couple of other risks like that. I think it's a very valid model to have your external perimeter tested. It changes when you start testing in a red teaming fashion where you go inside the infrastructure of an organization and you need to have a very tight control at any given point in time if something goes wrong, either tied to the test or not tied to the test.
Okay.
And so that control you lose a little bit when you crowdsource your testing. So each has their own use cases. We apply it a little differently. So we have our own bug bounty system in a way, in that we, in some cases, with clients that feel comfortable with that, we sometimes do a success fee where we say, okay,
yes.
We'll test a specific flag, we'll define the parameters of finding that flag. If we achieve in doing this, then you pay X amount.
Yes.
If we don't achieve, you still get the report, mm-hmm. you still get the explanation of what we tried and what didn't work.
C'est l'intérêt du modèle.
Also important mm-hmm. for you, but you end up not paying. Mm-hmm. So that's maybe an answer in part to the bug bounty model. I'll quickly go through. So I think we covered this. So we really come in after the plan and we really come in to align what Max has done and what then ends coming out in combination of what Arnaud is doing and the business is doing. We try to see, does it still cover the same business risk that we thought? And it may lead to conversations, for example, with developers. Okay, there's a business risk here. There's no logging. There's no logging being integrated into the scene, so we don't see a specific business case. And then we have that conversation between all of us to get that going. Skip ahead. I'm not going to go through all of this. So maybe some questions that we help answer. So platform safe, that's a typical question that goes more into vulnerability assessments. Penetration testing. An important one, I think, is our organization safe? And then we either do the full threat intelligence-based threat teaming, so we start from a threat intelligence scan and we do the whole red teaming exercise, or we take certain shortcuts. For example, if you do the entire thing, you start with phishing and with... Often phishing is something that's covered a million times in an organization. So we start from a certain point, let's say a user account, which is equivalent to a user clicking on a phishing mail, and we start from there. So there's some shortcuts to be made, which is more an ethical hacking, a risk-based ethical hacking exercise. We look at specific threats, and here it's a bit of an overlap, I would say, or same approach as Arnaud does. So either we look at what is happening in the market and what we see happening in the market, and we look at, okay, would we be able to detect, pick up, or prevent this specific threat? And we go back into the systems and look at it like that. Or we look at, okay, this activity is very active in the market. We did not have necessarily all of the detection tools in place or the prevention tools in place. we've took some time, to 2 weeks to implement the log for heap access, for example. In the meantime, do we see any threats of an ongoing activity off the back of that? So that's a bit of a variation on that. And then which attackers could impact us and how? So this is more the threat intelligence and threat modeling part. Threat modeling is a technique where you go through, when you attack an organization, you don't steal the crown jewels at once. Typically, you need to go through a series of steps before you get to the crown jewels. And we model what the different types of ways could be to get to the crown jewels. And that helps you decide where do we need to monitor, where do we need to prevent, where do we need to respond, perhaps. And then finally, we look at specific user groups. And I think this is a very important one. I think the system administrators, that makes sense. I think everybody can imagine that. Developers play a very important role. And I would take developers in the broad sense of the word. So these are not just the people coding. These are also business people designing and thinking about the design of an application. It's really important that they understand how their piece of the puzzle fits into the bigger security picture, because it's not in isolation. And so we try to work with them to make them understand, okay, it could be either a technical explanation, okay, this is how you code securely, but it could also be a conversation with the development team. Look, this is the business risk that your application poses to the organization. We need to apply this and this logging so that the SOC can then apply its rules to it to monitor these business risks, which is a very different interpretation than just looking at the technical risks. And then finally, executives, and this is an often overlooked category and the untouchables sometimes in some organizations. But that's a very interesting category because they typically have immediate access to a lot of information. And they're a bit harder to reach for some department. And so there, we also do VIP security services, which are starting to become very popular now in the work at home niche, where we look at how does an executive impact the security of my organization because of the information they post online. So we do an open source intelligence scan, of course, with all of the consents. Huh? We look at what information do they leak, what information do they post, how are they seen by an attacker, and how could an attacker use the information that they publish, sometimes without knowing, about themselves and their family. So we present that picture, and that often helps to keep an eye on, okay, what is being posted? How can I secure that? Social media type things. And then secondly, an activity that's also quite popular is to do a check of the home environment of the executive.
Okay.
So we go into the home environment, we check, okay, how are you working? What are the working conditions? What are you connecting to? How are you exchanging information? Are you printing on a printer that may not be secured? So things like that, especially in highly sensitive environments, that is a really pertinent question. So specific populations. So this is a bit the playing field where we try to do short missions with a high impact.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.